You know, I'm not big on DVDs, but I showed two weeks in a row. And if you didn't get to see it, I think Mike's got a CD or DVD. What is it? One or the other? Okay, you can do either one. Okay. And especially the second one is, to me, was the most powerful one. But you need to see it. You need to hear. This guy's name is Mike Bickle. He's up out of Kansas City, Kansas. And he has a large church up there, and show you how committed their church is. They have a prayer team that operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they've been doing that for what? Years. Yeah. And so, you know, he's really intense when it comes to talking about the things of God. But anyway, he was talking about, you know, concerning the times that we're living in right now. And one of the areas that he touched on rather briefly was the great deception that's going to come before Jesus comes. And the truth of the matter is that we're in that time right now. And he was speaking to it in relation to having a relationship with Jesus, especially during that time, how important it's going to be. And one of the most important elements that we're going to have to understand is our moving into that time of relationship with God. I mean, you can't imagine what's coming, and you're not going to make it through it without him, you know. And so, you know, we need, instead of getting frightened and moving away from it, we need to get into the Word and get closer to it so we understand what we're supposed to do. Now, one of the issues of this kind of relationship is found in churches. And it has to do with creating our own thing and not what God wants us to create. We create something that's outside of God, calling it the church, or calling it a relationship with God, and it's not. And this issue is found in growing a church, and we must deal with it in order to form or to build a solid foundation for a church. Now, I look at River of Life Church, you know, it's relatively a new church, even though we've been in this city about 20 years. But there's a lot, I mean, we got churches here in this town that are over 100 years old. And, you know, I feel like we're further ahead than them. But that's not bragging, that's just, you know, just making a statement. But it's important that we understand what it is and where we're going with it in order to have the proper foundation for the church that God wants us to build in this day. And Jesus talked about this a lot, and so I'm going to kind of just key in on him this morning, the things that he had to say about growing the church. Let's start in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. This is a letter that was written to the church at Laodicea, and it's, of course, found in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Version. I like it a little bit better in this particular case. Beginning in verse 15, it says, I know your works and what you're doing. You are neither cold or hot. Would you that you were cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. The old King James Version just calls it like it is. He said, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered and grown wealthy, and I'm in need of nothing. And you do not realize and understand that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Quite a contrast. And Jesus is identifying a work of deception in the church, and he's speaking the truth to a deceived people who are Christian people. You see, the real truth is that this church had received the truth from the Word of God in the beginning, but yet they had compromised God's Word or its spiritual application to their lives, and they were walking with eyes that were blind. Several times Jesus talked about people having eyes that could not see and having ears that could not hear. And this is what he's talking about. This is what happens when you fall into deception. But anyway, Christian people like this think in their minds that everything is all right, that it's okay, but they do not realize that they are going to lose what they had. And that's a tragedy in the end that we need to recognize and overcome it, because that's not where we're supposed to be as born-again Christians. Now let's look in Matthew chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. Jesus now is making this statement to disciples. The last one he made was to a church, a Christian church in Laodicea. And now he's talking to disciples. And he's telling them, to you has been given to know the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, the world, it has not been given. Amen? And that's how much God loves the Christian people, his children. And that's how much God loves the church. He's going to reveal to us the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But we have to show a hunger for that to be released in our lives. We have to be in such a place in life that we're not walking in deception, that we recognize what deception is and we'll not submit to it. Amen? Do you understand that? So this is our advantage. When we read the Word or we study the Word of God and live the Word, we have an understanding into the deep things of God. This is why it's important for us to spend that time in the Word of God, studying it, listening to the Spirit of God, what he's saying, and how he reveals the things of God and the things of the kingdom of God to us as individuals. And that's something that is given to us as Christians, and we have access to it by one person, and it's the Holy Spirit. Now in verse 12, it says, for whoever has spiritual knowledge, to him will more be given, and he will be furnished richly so that he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now this is the reason why Jesus spoke to the church at Laodicea. And this is the statement that he made to them. And let's listen to it again. You think that you are spiritually rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now this has a spiritual application. It's not a physical application. And I know a lot of Christians, you know, who've been Christians 40, 50 years, and they don't have a clue about what's going on because they've never spent time in the Word. They come to church occasionally, or if they're regular, they're not paying a whole lot of attention. They're not taking the Word into themselves and walking it out in their lives each day. And this is what happens, you know, if we're not careful, we become deceived. Now, this church, not this church, but this church at Laodicea, was deceived, and they were blindly walking in deception. They saw physically, but spiritually they couldn't see a thing. And we have people in even in our church today that are the same way. They can see clearly with their physical eyes, but with their spiritual eyes, they can't see anything. Or if they can see, it's very little that they see. And the way that deception is measured is by the production of fruit. You see, where there's a church with no fruit, then there is deception in that church. There's deception in the lives of the people of that church. Maybe not every life, but it's present in that church. Now, these people thought that they had it all and they were secure in their eternal works. And, you know, through the years, I've heard so much talk about eternal security. But here, these people think that they're secure, that they have it all together, that they have it made. And Jesus walks in there and says, "You're blind and you're deceived. And you're going to miss everything if you don't wake up." Now, how would you like Jesus to walk into this church and say that? It'd break my heart to hear that. Because I do hope that I'm a little higher than totally blind. I may have difficulty yet seeing some things in the kingdom, but there's a lot of things that I see and that I know, and I walk in it. Amen. Now, so you know, you're either lukewarm or you're hot or cold. We have three choices. And Jesus said, "I don't even care if you're hot or cold. I just don't want you lukewarm. Because I'm going to spit you out of my mouth if you're lukewarm." And that right there ought to grab a hold of our spirit and make ourselves determined that we're not going to ever be lukewarm in our relationship with Jesus. I believe that's part of the reason in the physical realm that we have so many marital problems. Is because instead of having a strong relationship between the husband and the wife, there's just a lukewarm relationship there. And it will never prosper. And it will eventually end up in destruction. So we need to receive these things and begin to think about them in relation to our own personal lives. Now, what we must realize is, again, that these things that Jesus is saying is written to the church. You see, Jesus is not concerned about the spiritual position of people that haven't even found him yet. I mean, he is in one sense that he wants to see them saved, that he wants to see them come to him in the kingdom of God. But where his real concern is, was with this Laodicean church. And you see, it's written to a church. It's not a religious organization, not a cult, not a movement, not some political influence that has been built around God. But they were the church of the living Lord. And they were deceived. Now, Jesus painted a picture of this that I want us to look at this morning. And it's an interesting parable that he speaks, beginning in Matthew chapter 13. He shares this parable of the sower with his disciples, and what was interesting about it, he shares the whole parable with them, and instead of them standing around saying, "Praise God, you know, thank you, Jesus, that was a powerful message." No, the scripture says that they come to him and they said, "What did you mean? What did you mean when you told us that?" And maybe that's some questions that we need to start asking. If we don't understand what's being declared as the word of God, why not start asking questions? You know, "Jesus, what did you mean? Holy Spirit, tell me, show me what the meaning of all of this is." And so Jesus did exactly what they requested. He told them once again what the meaning of the parable was. So let's look at Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got in a boat and he sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in a parable, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." And by the way, notice that Jesus is speaking to the multitude, not just the disciples. This is a message that even the world needs to hear. He spoke many things to them in the parable, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell into stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth on the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And then Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Now that's interesting. And Jesus would declare the same thing here today. He who has an ear, let him hear. And so at the request of the disciples, Jesus begins to explain this parable again, this time to them, to the disciples. Beginning in verse 18, he says, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower." You got that? You got to listen. You got to hear down in your spirit what God is saying by His Holy Spirit. You know, you cannot listen to a message from God while you're sitting here thinking, "I wonder what we're going to have for lunch today. Or I wonder what I'm going to do this afternoon or tonight." You see, we need to learn how to get focused on the Word of God. Especially when the person that God has anointed to speak the word is speaking. So therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone, absolutely anyone, hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Who's the wicked one? The devil, Satan, all right. And this is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, and that's important that you hear that, because of the word, there's going to be things that are going to happen, that are going to rise up in your life, and they're happening because of the word. Amen? Amen? All right. And because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Didn't say he had a handle on it, understood what God said, and he stood up against it and defeated it. But it said that he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is the one who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, he understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. That is a Christian, amen, who is producing good fruit, multitude of fruit, amen. So I tell you what, this is a measuring stick even, that we can look at it and measure ourselves by God's standard. You see, sometimes I get kind of afraid of church standards, because mixed in with them, there's some that have nothing to do with the Word of God. If we're going to have any standards in this church, they must line up with the Word of God. Amen? Okay, so Jesus has, before the disciples, he's painted four pictures of understanding. And this understanding has to do not only with the first step of being born again, but is also relates to a walk with God in relationship. In relationship through His Word. So let's look at the first picture. It's the picture that Jesus said was the roadside. Now, this is that area that I told you a while ago, where everybody hears this. They listen to it and they hear it. And they hear the word of the kingdom, but they do not grasp or comprehend it. And the evil one, Satan, comes along and he steals the word from their heart. And the end result of that is that there was no conversion whatsoever. You see, people, I mean, we do the same thing. Not my wife. Yes, she's in here. Sometimes I'll listen to her and I could not tell you what she said, because I was not really listening to her. And a lot of times that's what happens out here in the world, especially when you're talking to them about the church or Jesus or God, or, you know, they're kind of make you think they're listening, but they're not listening because they're not interested. But Satan's out there to pick off anyone that he can, because he doesn't want you in the kingdom of God. So the second picture is the passive, what I call the passive scripture, or Christian. This is that thin, rocky soil that Jesus talked about. This Christian, or this person, hears the word. He welcomes it, accepts it with joy, comes down and is baptized, you know, just rejoicing in the Lord. But there's no real root of the word in them. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, then they stumble and they fall. They begin to move away from God and not trust and obey Him. And the end result is that they fall away. And again, I've seen people come into this church, all excited, you know, receive Jesus, get baptized. And, they're not really committed to church, but they come occasionally. But then something happens in their lives, and you never see them again. Did they have a true conversion? I don't know. You know, that's between them and God. My concern is, I hope they did. And I really feel like if they truly did, there would have been some kind of commitment made to God. Because God set up the church. God loves the church. And the church is made up of the body of Christ. The body. You and I make up the body. And that's why God tells us to love one another, the brother. You know, love your brothers yourself. And that's why it's so important that we learn how to live together, how we learn to appreciate one another and not be jealous of somebody else's giftings in the church or whatever, you know. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But oftentimes we find that it's not. Now, the third picture is the one that Jesus talked about, the thorns. And these are just flat-out worldly Christians. They've heard the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasures and the delight and the deceitfulness of the world or its riches chokes out and suffocates the word in them, and they yield no fruit. Absolutely yield no fruit. And sadly to say, this is where many Christians live today. They live in this place, you know, where they're just constantly jumping back and forth between the church and the world, the church and the world. And the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is a major part of their lives. They are tempted, and they fall into these temptations because they're not living the Word. They're not walking out the Word. And the reason they're not doing that is because at one point in time, they compromised. They compromised and they became deceived. Finally, the fourth picture is the good soil. And this is the heart a heart that goes after God as a Christian. You know, you pursue God constantly and continually because you want more of Him. You want more of His kingdom. You want more of what we talked about a while ago. You want to understand more and more of the riches and the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of God. The good soul is the one who hears the word and receives it and comprehends it. And this is the fruit bearer. He bears fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And this would be glorious to have a church full of people like this. Amen. Yeah. But seriously, that's the way this is the way the church should be. And sometimes I have in the past, and I wonder if Jesus would walk in here, what would He say? What would He say? That's scary, isn't it? So we're talking about recognizing the work of the devil, and you know, sometimes it seems like he's in every realm of this. But Jesus only pictured one and named him that he was involved in, and that was the first one. And we see some of this in the churches today. People come in, they make a decision, like I said a while ago, for Christ, and then they leave, and we never see them again. And those are the ones that Satan takes out. Literally just takes them away right up front. But let's look at picture number two, the passive Christian. Let's stop and look a little bit at him. These people are totally uncommitted, no commitment whatsoever in their lives. And you let them get sick or get in trouble or persecution comes along. And if they're still in the church, they'll be gone. They run because the enemy has convinced them that that's where the problem is. And we also see these people that come looking for something. And I know Daniel gets frustrated at this, and so do I. But you know, people will come to you and with a problem, and the first thing we do is invite them into the church, and they say, "Well, I don't want to come to church. I just want to be healed. I want to be set free." Well, you know, that's not the way God works. God wants to welcome you into a family, and as a father, take care of you. Amen. Amen. And yet people don't see that. They get what they want. They come looking. They get what they want, and then they leave again. And sometimes some of them you don't ever see again, except maybe out here in the city you run into them one day or another. And some of them even become what I call church hoppers. They're never satisfied, and they'll just jump around from church to church to church. And I've always told people in this church, if you're put here by God, you need to stay. And if you're not put here by God, then you need to ask God where you need to be and get in that church. Because if you and God are not in agreement about what church you're in, then you're going to stay in a mess. Do you understand that? Okay. But usually church hoppers, the reason they jump around so much is they don't submit to authority. They don't want to submit to authority. And they have this thing inside of them that they're always looking for something. They're looking for something. And they're not going to find it. Because they're looking for something that's going to change their life, yes, but not the way that God wants it changed. They've got that worldly mentality that, you know, I ought to be successful in the church and I'm not. Well, give your heart to Jesus and follow God in relationship and you'll find out how to be. Amen. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Right, but again, if you ask God, God will lead you to the place. Just like this church, do you feel the Holy Spirit in here? Yeah. Right. And that's something that people tell us about this church. They feel the presence of God in here. And you know, we don't want to cause anything for him to leave, you know. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. But no, it's important that we be in agreement with God. Wherever we're at, we need to be in that agreement with him. Now, the picture number three is what we call the worldly Christian. This is the old lukewarm Christian, and they've not dealt with the flesh. They jump back and forth between the church and the world, back and forth. They'll come a while, and then they get strung out, and then they come a while and go back out into the world. And they're actually fence walkers when they're in the church. You know what a fence walker is? You're trying to walk with God and the world at the same time, and you can't do that. God says it's either one way or the other, my way or the world's way, yeah, or the highway. And God is, you know, God is a super protective God. And God has so much for us that he wants to release into our lives if we will just make that commitment. I'm yours, Lord. From here on out, I am yours, and I'm going to walk with you and do everything that you tell me to do. Amen. So you can't walk the best of both worlds and be successful in the kingdom of God. And this is also, by the way, a group of people who don't repent. They won't repent. In fact, they don't even want to know what the word means, repent, because they have no intention of repenting. They like their life the way it is, and they're not going to change. And let me tell you, you're not going to get anywhere with God if you don't have a repentant heart. Amen? You understand that? Okay. Bad thing about that group too, that's the group that Jesus said, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. And this group of people can also be described, what Jesus talked about is the tares. T-A-R-E-S. In the Bible, it's called tares or darnel. And it's a weed that looks like wheat. And in the Old Testament times, when they planted the wheat, it would grow up inside the field of wheat. And it looked just like wheat. Except when you went to harvest it, there was no fruit on it. And you know what they did with it? They would separate it, gather it together, and burn it. Doesn't sound like a good future, does it? Amen. But picture four is the real thing, you know, and we'll always know the real thing by the fruit it produces. The fruit it produces. And every church that Jesus establishes will have this type of people in it, because those are the church builders. Those are the ones that are going to continue to draw people into the kingdom of God and to build the church of God here on this earth. Of course, when we're building here on this earth, we're just becoming and providing that which will eternally be built. You know, there's a new city up there that's being built on a continuing basis, and we're just part of that. You know, we're just helping build that kingdom in heaven. And that's what God wants. These people love the Word. They love the Lord. And they can't refrain themselves from telling others about what God's doing in their lives. And that's so important, yet, and it's so simple. So simple. People get all knotted up on the inside when you tell them to talk to people about Jesus. I mean, all you have to do is tell them, this is what God did for me. Amen. You know? And if God has done absolutely nothing in your life, then there's something wrong with you, not God. In fact, I'd get before God on my knees and I would ask God, do I belong to you or not? And if you don't, give your life to Him. You see, there's no gray ground out here. It's either black or white. And I know that's scary, you know, using those terms in this day and time. People have such a crazy, misguided opinion about black and white and talking about it. But with God, it's crystal clear. You're either with Him or you're without Him. You're either for Him or you're against Him. Amen? So, where do you picture yourself? You've had everything that Jesus told these people that He was speaking to out of the boat. Where do you find yourself today? What picture are you in? If you're not in number four, then you need to repent. And if you know that you know that Jesus is not in your heart, you need to come and ask Him. And by the way, Jesus is never hidden from anybody. He's always available. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And the salvation part of it is just the door that opens into Christ and the kingdom of God. That's where the journey begins. It doesn't end there. And I think that's the problem. So many people think, well, I've got Jesus now. I can just go live like I want to and end up in heaven one of these days. No, that's not on God's agenda. That's not the way God planned it. You better get in the Word and see how God planned it. Because there is going to be an end. There is going to be a judgment time. And just make sure that Jesus is up there building your mansion. Okay? Amen. Well, let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. Your Word is so powerful, Lord. And Father, You even called it like a two-edged sword, that it divides going in and divides coming out. And Father, that's what we need to do. We need to be cut away from the deception and the ways of this world. And Lord, then we need to commit ourselves totally to You. Father, for those who might be here this morning, they don't know You as Lord and Savior, I ask that by Your Holy Spirit, that you would just begin to move upon the hearts of people. Holy Spirit, you're always welcome here. We try our very best not to do anything to grieve or to quench you, because your presence and your work is so important in the hearts of people. You bring conviction to our hearts. Whether we don't know Jesus, or we've been separated from him, or our hearts are so full of sin, you're always there to speak into our lives if we would just choose to listen. And you never bring condemnation to us, just simple conviction that making a commitment to Jesus will change. So Father, I just ask you in this time, if there are decisions that need to be made this morning, that they'll be made, Father. That everyone in this building will have the direction that they're following. And that they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're on the right track. That they are producing fruit continually, walking out your kingdom here on this earth as it is in heaven. So Father, just bless every heart here today. Father, we bind the word to their hearts, that the enemy cannot steal that word. And whatsoever I bind here on earth is bound in heaven. So, Father, we thank you for the eternal things that are being released in this room right now. We just give you all of the praise and the glory. And just keep your heads bowed and every